Many Hoosiers lack internet access at home, and that often puts them at an educational and economic disadvantage. A chance to help is on its way, as billions of federal dollars are headed to Indiana to increase broadband access. But WFYI's Cindy Dauphiné reports experts say the money won't reach all who need it most.
Internet access across Indiana has been unequal for years. The pandemic made that widespread knowledge.
It was like the floodgates open.
That's Katie Dorsey, the head of students at Heron Riverside High School. She says in March of 2020, when instruction went virtual, the demand for support to access the internet was immediate and overwhelming.
So often it was also a teacher noticing a need, and then we would reach out to the family and the family would say, yes, like that is, you're right. We do have either horrible broadband, unreliable Wi-Fi, or none at all. We didn't even know you could help. How can you help us?
Broadband is either cost prohibitive or non-existent in many neighborhoods, urban and rural. That has long put many at a disadvantage. Dorsey says many students tried workarounds.
They would just wait until they were at school where they had internet, or they would go to public places.
Research from Ball State University estimates more than 40,000 Indiana households with school-age children lack a dial-up internet subscription or broadband access at home. Michael Hicks is a Ball State University professor. He researches the effect of public policy on state and local economies. Hicks says this lack of access is a huge economic disadvantage.
Well, if you don't have broadband, you're immediately excluded from 15% of all job opportunities that are available in America right now. If you don't have broadband, you know, you're going to have to go to the library just to apply for a job, but you certainly can't work at home.
Internet isn't federally subsidized like water or electricity. Hicks explains.
We think about public utilities like water service and electricity. Those were subsidized heavily by the federal government in the 1940s, really, with electricity. So everybody got electrical service. The landline telephones were subsidized through universal service fee that got telephone service to every household.
But broadband access is not federally guaranteed. And when Indiana deregulated it 15 years ago, many were left out of reach. In cities, competition between providers spiked and many can't afford broadband. In rural areas, companies did not prioritize it because it's expensive to install fiber and there are fewer customers to pay for it. Hicks says the digital divide hurts the economy because it impedes progress for low-income households. Many experts agree and hope incoming federal money will provide a solution that prioritizes serving all the most economically disadvantaged.
We're talking about a digital divide that essentially forecloses on an individual's economic and social opportunities if they're not connected.
That's Nicole Turner Lee, a researcher with the Brookings Institute. She believes the digital divide should be treated like an economic divide, because that's what it is. She says because the digital divide manifests in different ways in different communities, she hopes the federal money will be given directly to communities to decide how to use it.
And you need to do that from the ground up. There are so many librarians and city commissioners and, you know, church leaders, community-based organization leaders. They filled the gap when we couldn't get those kids into school or we couldn't get elderly folks into hospitals. They have a sense of what works, what doesn't work in their community.
That ground-up response is happening on some level in rural Indiana communities. When the pandemic hit, the state used federal funds to build the Indiana Connectivity Program. Rather than give money to providers to install broadband in specific areas, which was done before, people can now ask the state themselves.
And these are many times just the kind of one-off connections. So maybe their neighbor, a half a mile or three quarters of a mile away, has connection, but they can't get it.
That's Lieutenant Governor Suzanne Crouch. She runs the Office of Rural Affairs.
Most of the Hoosiers that we are serving through the Indiana Connectivity Program are those Hoosiers that are in the more rural areas and cannot get connection simply because nobody wants to provide it. Because to the providers, there's no monetary benefit to doing it because they're not in a populated area.
But that doesn't help people who lack access because they can't afford it. Education leaders in the state's urban areas, including Heron Riverside's Katie Dorsey, hope there will be more investment from the government to help those largely urban households. Indianapolis Public Schools provided access for families who could not afford it during the pandemic, and she says she doesn't think it's the best use of resources for schools to bear the weight of the broadband problem.
I hope that the federal and state funding that is going toward this can help maybe solve this whole picture scale and not just, you know, individual students and families being connected.
I'm Sydney Dauphiné, WFYI News.
Sydney Dauphiné is one of two reporters WFYI shares in newsroom partnership with the Indianapolis Recorder. You can find their coverage of economic and health equity matters on WFYI.org and on IndianapolisRecorder.com.